It has been a blessing coming here. First of all, listening to all the wonderful praise music, which really lifts your spirit. And having come with Mary Kay, who is the coordinator of Buffalo chapter of Magnificat. Buffalo is only an hour away from Rochester, New York, where I'm the coordinator in Rochester. So we've been buddies for a while. So this was like, as she said, a Mary and Elizabeth thing. She came to support the old lady as she gives her testimony. And I appreciate it. We had a wonderful trip, and we'll have a wonderful trip back. I'm very happy to have been invited today. Do you know that God is good? All the time. Praise God. Praise God forever. My preparation for today has helped me to reflect on how very good God is, even in the difficulties of our life. My hope today is, first of all, that God would be glorified by my sharing. And my prayer is that your ears and your heart and your spirit are open and pliable for God's word, especially for you today. Let him penetrate within you, that your ears will hear what you need to hear, not something I say. God's good like that, you know? He can just work through the words of this poor person and go right into your heart with what you need to hear from him. My intent today is it be an opportunity to shed light on the ways God has worked, supported, and embraced me through many different events in my life. I think it's really a good idea that God didn't let us know ahead of time what's coming down the road, because who'd want to go, right? Thank God we don't know ahead. And I really appreciate your reflection, because I humbly join with our Blessed Mother Mary and what she said to Elizabeth in her greeting. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on this lowly servant. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. I'm honored to be joined with Mary in that response, in that prayer. I grew up in Rhode Island, and we were talking last night when we were out to dinner about all the different accents that I hear here, and even Buffalo talks different than Louise from Rochester, who grew up in Rhode Island. So I have this kind of hybrid accent. I might forget putting R's where they belong, or I'll put them where they don't belong. So you might hear it here and there. During my high school years, I made a perpetual consecration to Our Lady through an organization called Sodality. Through Sodality, I followed a prescribed method of prayer each day. I attended daily Mass, and upon graduation from high school, I followed my dream. I entered the Sisters of the Presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is a semi-cloistered order in Massachusetts. I stayed 3 days. I've made longer retreats. I'm ever so grateful that the Lord showed me right away that's not what he had in mind for me, that he wanted to use me in other ways. A few years later, I met and married Bill, and we moved from Rhode Island to his hometown, Rochester, New York, and we had a wonderful life together. We have 3 children, Robin, and 2 sons, Mike and Gary. Have you ever felt so happy that you thought you couldn't contain it? You're going to burst from happiness? That's how I felt those early years in our marriage. We were so blessed. We had a new home. We had love for one another and 3 healthy children. After about 8 years of marriage and raising kids, I began to question, why was I going to church? It was just a practice in patience to try to keep the kids quiet. You might be able to relate to that. We didn't bring Cheerios to Mass back in those days. I remember coming home and thinking, why am I going to Mass anyway? I know I'm supposed to love God. I don't think I even know Him. So shortly after that, I heard about a women's retreat that they were having sponsored by our parish. And I went and signed up for the retreat. What I'm going to share with you now is what I call my threshold experience. Some like to call it being born again. Sometimes it has negative connotations when people throw that term around, so I like threshold. And as a retreat master was speaking, I was deeply moved by his words, and I'm going to repeat them to you today, asking you to consider what they mean to you. Do you know that God loves you? That He loves you completely, right now, just as you are. He will not love you less if you do anything wrong, or if you ignore Him or you doubt Him. And He will not love you more if you just perfectly follow His will. He loves you completely, right now, just as you are. There's nothing more that you can do to earn more of His love. He loves you now, just as you are. Those words resonated within me. I had thought that I had to earn God's love to always be in His favor. I guess that I didn't believe that He loved me individually. I felt within me that Jesus isn't just in heaven, that He's alive now. He's present in His Eucharist, present in the Word, present in His children, His people, and also alive within and around me through the power of the Holy Spirit. I had not at that point understood what I'm sharing with you now, but I felt it. I felt within my spirit and being His actual presence. Jesus is alive. He is alive. From that moment in the retreat, I was open and absorbing every word, every liturgy, everything spoken by others. It was just charged and filled with love. I went to confession, and I confessed a grudge I had been holding for someone who had hurt me. Not only was I forgiven, but I was transformed within. I no longer felt hatred for her. I had wrote to her on that weekend and asked for forgiveness for not having forgiven her when she asked for it. She had written me a letter about a year earlier asking for forgiveness. And the good Christian that I am, I threw it in a drawer and said it'll be a cold day in hell when I forgive her. It was a cold day in hell that day. The next morning I woke up early and I heard a voice within me saying, I call you by name, Louise. Thinking, is that my imagination? But I heard it again. I call you by name, Louise. I realized it was God. I thought He wanted me to get up and go down to the chapel. You know, during retreats, they have all-night adoration, and you sign up for an hour to go down. Not me. And so, of course, I felt guilty. I hadn't done that. So I continued to resist, thinking, if I move around the room, the girl in the next bed, she's going to hear me and she'll get up, and I want to disturb her. So I continued to stay in bed. And I heard again, I call you by name, Louise. Okay, I finally relented and I got up. She didn't budge. And I went down to the chapel and just said, okay, here I am, Lord. Then I recognized what He really wanted. He wanted me not just to come down to the chapel. He wanted me to surrender to Him. He wanted me to give my life over to Him, to serve Him, to love Him, and to accept His love for me. Only then, through His grace, could I say, "Yes, here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am with openness, without fear. Here I am. I trust You. I know that whatever You ask of me, whatever I do, I won't be alone. You will be with me." I felt like I was in love with Him. I later could not understand why others on the same retreat couldn't seem to hear Him like I could or feel His embracing love. It was my unique experience. It's what I needed. I know I did nothing to have that experience, except that I desired to know who God was, and He revealed Himself to me. Coming home felt like culture shock. Kids, meals, laundry, housework. Yet I still felt like I was on a honeymoon with Jesus. I had this insatiable desire to read Scripture, and I understood it. My poor husband, he couldn't understand my enthusiasm or my insistence. He needed to go on a retreat too. Yeah, he didn't want to go. And as I prayed, I realized that it's in God's way and God's time for each one of us. And I had to just let go of my trying to save Him. That if God could draw me, He can draw anyone, and He can draw them in their time. Others' experience may not be as dramatic as mine was, but God loves us all. And if we experience His love and are open to Him, He will reveal Himself to us. I eventually began to participate in a charismatic prayer group at our parish. And that helped me to remain faithful and strong in my relationship with God. Because eventually, all you girls that are married know that the honeymoon feeling fades. You don't stay, you stay in love, but the honeymoon kind of lessens. So that's what happened with my relationship with Jesus. The honeymoon feeling started to peter out. Now I had to rely on my commitment to God based on truth and my belief rather than my feelings. I learned through prayer and the prayer group members that helped me that what I had experienced was called being baptized in the Holy Spirit, a dying to self and a surrendering to Jesus, an enlivening of the Holy Spirit that we received in the sacrament of baptism, was strengthened in the Baptist sacrament of confirmation, and was ignited and released in my surrendering to Him. A simple explanation of being baptized in the Holy Spirit: if you can imagine having a glass of milk and pouring Hershey's chocolate syrup into it, you just go to drink it, it's going to taste like milk because the chocolate all sank to the bottom. If you stir it up, you'll get chocolate milk. So we need to be stirred up with the Holy Spirit to really live in His power. Saying, "Yes, Lord, fill me, use me, stir up the gifts You have given me so I may glorify You with my life." Several months later, I asked God to prove to me that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I was given the gift of tongues, a new prayer language that I could use more effectively to praise Him and more effectively to pray for others. It's a perfect way to pray to the Father through the Holy Spirit, who knows exactly what is needed. As I was anticipating sharing parts of my life in this talk, I had some negative thoughts and doubts. I realized Satan was bugging me. So I prayed a Hail Mary. I proclaimed the name of Jesus, telling Satan to get lost. And then I prayed in tongues. Shortly after that, the oppression left me, and I felt joy again. I thank Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Mary. Everyday life went on until the illness and death of my father-in-law. and serious illness of my mother-in-law. We were dealing with that, and our oldest child, Robin, was in her adolescent years and having behavioral issues. That's putting it mildly. I tried to trust God. God had been working in her as a young child. All three of my kids had gone to prayer meetings. We had children's section. And so I knew that, you know, God was working within her. I kept praying with scripture and repeated Philippians 1:6. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. That offered me hope. I knew God loved her and would not let go of her. I really believed that. She ran away from home for 5 days when she was 14. Things went from bad to worse. We went for counseling, and my husband and I went to a support group called Tough Love. We were looking for different ways to help her and our family to relate better. Finally, just into her freshman year of high school, never having had a first date, just hanging out with kids in the neighborhood, she became pregnant. She was delighted and proud that she was having her boyfriend's baby. The gap between us grew. Tensions were really high in our home, and finally, with the help of the Catholic Family Center of Rochester, we were able to have her go and stay at Melita House, which was a home for pregnant young women run by the Sisters of Mercy. She lived there for 5 months, and eventually we moved her to a foster home for the last few weeks of her pregnancy. We had been advised that a 15-year-old mother doesn't usually want to keep her baby after it's a few months old. The reality sets in. They miss the fun that their friends are having, and the endless responsibility that a baby brings them is overwhelming. We had lost control of her, and we were afraid that because of her age, she would not want the responsibility of the child she brought into the world. So foster care seemed the best option for our whole family. We had two younger boys watching every move we were making with our rebellious daughter. We wanted them to know they couldn't get rebellious either, that there were consequences for that. So we had to keep the whole family in mind. I was having trouble seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Bill's mom was dying, and we were struggling with Robin's situation. Again, I turned to God's word. Hebrews 11:1. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. I had to hope that things would resolve, that God loved and cared for each of us. I had to believe that good would come from this circumstance, no matter how dismal it seemed. That good was Brandon. Brandon James was born September 21st, 1983, just 6 weeks after Bill's mom died. One of the hardest things I had to do was to pick up Robin and Brandon from the hospital and drive them to another woman's home, her foster mother, to care for my daughter and grandson. To have another woman teach her parenting skills. She was so rebellious, she would never have received my help. It was the only healthy way that we could see for our family. I talked to Mary, Mother Mary, as I drove away, asking her to be with Robin and with me. Mary had lost her son in a temple in Jerusalem when he was 12. She might have felt the same way I was feeling, helpless and like a failure as a mother. When Brandon was about 4 months old, it became apparent it was time to bring them home. The foster mother could not keep them any longer for her own personal reasons. Robin had settled in to take in responsibility for Brandon, so they came to live with us. She was on probation for another 6 months, so if she acted out, they would be back in foster care somewhere else. She was now in her sophomore year. I still worked part-time at a school from 10 to 2. She and the boys would get up in the morning and go off to school on the bus. I would get up, get ready for work, and get Brandon up, fed and dressed, and drove him to the former foster mother's home, who babysat him while I was at work. On my way home, I picked him up, swung over to the high school to pick up Robin, so she could be his parent, not me. And it was important for her that Brandon knew she was his mom. It took all of us a lot of hard work and lip biting to live together as a family, still bringing her up as she brought up her little boy. She did great, and she proved all the statistics wrong. She took responsibility as his mom. 10 years went by. My children grew. The boys had gone, one to the Navy, one to college, and returned. You know about that rotating girl, that door? They come and they go, they come and they go. We were 5 adults and 1 poor child. Brandon had 5 people keeping an eye on him. Then the world tumbled in again. My husband of 27 years came home one night, declaring his love for another woman. I was in total disbelief. Total shock. I didn't see that one coming at all. And within 2 weeks, he moved out of our home and into their apartment. Chaos reigned. Raw emotion was everywhere. Each of my children and I tried not to show our pain, not to hurt each other, because we were all betrayed. We were all left with no indication of a problem. He just changed his life and moved on. Almost immediately, I heard God's voice within me. I will never leave you. His promise, once again, he would be with me through it all. I turned to Scripture once again, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in distress. Therefore we fear not, though the earth be shaken. The Lord of hosts is with us. Our stronghold is the God of Jacob. I had to believe he would be there with me through this terrible time. I went for counseling. Trying to grapple with this stranger that showed up one day and said he was leaving, how could that be? How could my peaceful, loving husband just walk away from the family that he loved? We had weathered so much and came out stronger through it when many other families would have fallen apart. How could he do this? Maybe it'll pass. Maybe he'll come home. Maybe he'll come to his senses. He didn't. And I asked God to guide me through his Holy Spirit to know what to do. I had never thought this would happen to us. So I didn't know where to turn. A fellow co-worker mentioned a lawyer. That was wrenching to me. It dissolved me to tears. I felt like I was going to be disloyal to him, to even think about it. I couldn't pray. I was numb and I was raw all at the same time. I worried about my children and my grandchildren. All the kids were in their 20s by now and Brandon was 10. But realized I couldn't help them. I was so broken myself. I had to trust God. I needed to get healthy so I could deal with it myself before I could help them. They were adults. They'd find their way. I just had to entrust them to God. I prayed for Bill that he would not alienate himself from God. And I asked God to help me not to be bitter and to help me to be able to function. God surely was with me, even though I didn't necessarily feel his presence. Scripture once again became a source of strength. Ever since our separation, I've been encouraged by Jeremiah 29:11. For I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare. Plans to give you a future full of hope. When you call me, when you go to pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. Yes, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord, and I will change your lot. About a year later, my daughter heard me crying in the bathroom by myself, and she knocked on the door and handed me a clipping from the newspaper about a group. And she said, Mom, I can't help you, but maybe this group can. Obviously, she had matured a bit. The group is called Beginning Experience, BE for short. I called the number and was invited to a 6-week group that was just starting. I found a safe place that I could cry and hear other people's pains and stories. I was not alone. Then I went on a BE, or Beginning Experience, weekend and found the path for healing I needed. Beginning Experience was founded by a nun and a divorced woman, and it was modeled on Marriage Encounter. They recognized that there was a need for people experiencing the loss of a loved one from death, divorce, or separation. It was life-saving for me. I made new friends who were also suddenly single and not looking for a new mate, but someone trying to heal. I remained involved with it for over 10 years, working on teams as they put on weekends, and I've seen hundreds of men and women grow through their loss and pain to become whole again. During those years of healing, as I tried to get over the hurt and find some way of forgiving Bill for the damage this he caused my children and myself, and I sought God. I began by saying, God, I don't feel like forgiving him. But I know that if I don't, the only one who's going to be hurt is me. Resentment and anger will cripple me and keep me distant from you and suspicious of other people. I knew, and I know, that in the Lord's Prayer it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So if I expected to be forgiven by God, I had to forgive him. So I said, God, I desire to try to forgive. Sometimes in my hurt, the best I could muster up was, God, I need your help. I'm trying to want to try to forgive, or I'm trying to desire to want to forgive. But I can only do it with your grace. I've learned that forgiveness doesn't happen overnight. Forgiveness is a process, and it would take varying degrees of desiring to try to forgive. Forgiveness, like love, is a decision that we make. And the decision to forgive has nothing to do with feelings. Eventually, after many times of asking God to help me to begin to forgive, and reminding myself that I have decided to try to forgive, was I able to finally forgive. That doesn't mean that it's all said and done now, you know, because we're human. And every time I would see Bill, the hurt and the anger would return, and I'd have to remind myself, I've decided to forgive, and with God's help, I'm doing that. It is a process, and it took me many years. And forgiving doesn't mean forgetting. God doesn't expect that of us. He wants us to use our newfound wisdom as we move forward. Lastly comes the feeling, and only with God's grace could I feel forgiveness for Bill. After our divorce was final, I immediately applied for annulment for our marriage from the church. And at that point in time, I did not ever intend to marry again. But I needed to feel right with the church. I needed that sense of finality. I can't say that the annulment process is an easy one or without pain, but it was helpful to go through, and once the annulment was granted, I felt validated by the church. There were good reasons why our marriage failed, and they stemmed from issues within families of origin that did not leave us fully able to commit to a sacramental marriage. In my bio, it talks about losing my job. After our marriage ended, I went to St. Bernard's School of Theology and Ministry. I guess I recognized my passion was spirituality, and I had time on my hands, so I went to school. After 6 years of classes, I earned 2 certificates in pastoral ministry. And I ended up being privileged to serve in that capacity in my own parish. I loved it, and I knew I made a difference in people's lives using the gifts that God gave me. But for financial reasons, the position was eliminated. It was a very painful time for me. And although I knew that God had called me to serve in this way, I had to trust him to move on and to forgive those who hurt me with that decision. I had eventually reached a point when I was ready to have someone in my life. I had been single for over 10 years and was ready to consider trusting again. I miss being special to someone. And I know I'm special to Jesus, but I yearned to have someone I could see and talk to and share my life with and grow old with. So I prayed. Gosh, what's wrong with me? It's been 10 years now and I've been alone. Why doesn't someone just ask me out for dinner? I did have a number of good single male friends, but no one I was in love with or they with me. So I remember going to lunch with a good friend of mine, Father Bill, and I whined and said, you know, nobody wants me, and I think I'd like to be with somebody. So he prayed with me and that I would find peace with my wife. And then on the following Sunday, I had gone to a beginning experience event, and on Monday, I received a call from a gentleman named Bob, who had been there, and he invited me out for dinner. Cool timing, God, and a quick answer to Father's prayer. And all my single friends said, put me on Father's list. Bob and I have been married for 16 years now, and our friend Father Bill officiated. Bob is a very devout Catholic man who showers with me with love and attention. And he can cook, ladies. I don't have to think about dinner every day. He's always thinking. We both desire and commit to having God in the center of our lives and our marriage. And I thank God for answering the desire of my heart almost immediately after I voiced it. I'm so grateful that Bob came into my life because his presence and support helped me through the next chapter of our family's life. On July 20th, 2005, I received a call from my daughter to come to the hospital Brandon, who was now 21 years old, had been hurt at work. I'm picturing a broken arm, and innocently asked if he broke something. "No, Mom, please come." "Does he need surgery?" "No," she begins to cry. "He's gone, Mommy." Her child, our Brandon, the family joker, the joy of all of us, a wonderful 21-year-old man who struggled through all the years with learning disabilities, who went on to school for heavy equipment operation, was successfully employed as a construction worker and proud of it. He was a clean kid, had no drug or alcohol problems. He loved his two families and was respected by his teachers, co-workers, and friends. Brandon, who burst into life when it was so inconvenient. Brandon, who as a child liked to play and do it, was buried up to his shoulders when an unsupported trench he was working in collapsed. He lived for 2 hours and died during surgery. My prayer, God, where are you? Where are you? His response, I'm here. I will never leave you. Brandon's funeral was at our family's parish. At his funeral, I observed his life in a full cycle. He was baptized at this font, made his first communion here, and now we celebrate his welcome into eternal life here as well. This gift of life we didn't plan on. This wonderful young man, gone. How do we bear the pain? My daughter's only child, gone. My daughter's suffering, and I can't fix it for her. And I experienced a double loss. Loss of my grandchild, who I had a hand in raising, and the helplessness and pain as I watched my daughter suffer. Mary lost her only child, too. I prayed that Mary would wrap Robin in her mantle to join in her suffering, strengthen and comfort her. Today, that prayer is being answered. God is good. All the time, God is good. 13 years ago, as part of Robin's journey of grief, brought her to a facility for a few weeks where she was asked to kneel in prayer for half an hour every evening. Not having gone regularly to church, she could not remember the Catholic prayers of her youth. So she asked someone to write out the Hail Mary, and she prayed that. And during those weeks, she miraculously met Mary under the title of Our Lady of Guadalupe. When I went to see her in the facility, and she says, "Mom, you know anything about Guadalupe?" I go, "Yeah, it's a city in Mexico." So she goes, "Yeah, but Mary's appearing there." So I'm like, that's the last thing I expected coming out of her mouth. And so Mary revealed herself to Robin somehow that she's another mother who lost her only son. Robin's devotion to Our Lady today is centered on her desire to bear the loss just like Mary has, with grace and strength and a lack of self-pity. I'm so grateful to Mary that she has done something for my daughter that I couldn't do. Mary's so faithful and always interceding to her son, always pointing to Jesus. Most of us here have suffered some grief at some point, and we all grieve differently. For a while, I kind of felt disconnected from God. I knew and believed He was there. I made a few attempts at journaling. In one attempt, I wrote out my feelings to God in what I now call morning prayer. Oh God, I come before You, seeking Your face, racked with pain, emotions spent, no energy, drained of tears, my arms hanging limp beside me. Where are You? Where are You? I look around, I cannot see You. Have You left me here to suffer in my grief and sadness? Then there's a whisper in my ear. I am here. I will never leave You. Suddenly I'm aware. You are here, with Your arms wrapped around my body, my numb body, supporting me, giving me Your strength. Your arms enfold me in Your love. And even though I'm too battle-worn to feel them, Your words, I am here, give me courage to look ahead with hope. That even though I cannot lift my feet yet to move ahead, I can just be for now, still in pain, but not alone. You are so close, I cannot see You, but Your whisper reassures me. I am here. I will never leave You. I believe that it was not God's design that Brandon would die now, but man's error. I believe that God knew it would happen, but didn't make it happen. Life happens, and sometimes it's messy. Sin is in the world, and we all get affected by it, by our own sin, and by the sins of others. But we know as Christians that God is always with us, even in that messy stuff. And He can bring good through it. As we trust Him and rely on Him, He will never leave us. I'm depending on that. A little over a year ago, my husband Bob began developing some distressing symptoms. Weight gain, shortness of breath. He had already had an aortic valve replacement a couple years before. So off to emergency we went. He was admitted for 2 weeks and diagnosed with a rare kidney, autoimmune kidney disease. They began treating him with 80 milligrams of prednisone. If you're familiar with prednisone, that's more than I've ever heard of anybody having. 3 weeks after discharge, he was to start chemo because the prednisone wasn't working. But he fell at home and incurred a very deep leg wound, like that big, that deep. Back to the hospital again, and off the medication because with prednisone or chemo, the wound would not have healed. During that time, as I was trying to pray, I felt God saying, I've got this. So I told Bob when I got to the hospital that day, and he was shocked because he heard the same thing that morning. I've got this. And Bob doesn't usually hear from God. That's what he says. God talked to him. I've got this. Those words have sustained us over the very many months ahead. To make a very long story shorter, he was hospitalized for 60 days over the next 10 months for several instances, 3 extra emergency room visits, a pacemaker, 4 surgeries, a skin graft, 3 pints of blood, iron infusions, wound center visits weekly, and no treatment for this kidney disease, because of all the wounds. We went to the nephrologist or kidney doctor in January, and he said, I cannot understand this, but Bob's kidney numbers are all back to normal. In all my years of practice, I have never seen anything like this, with no treatment at all. I can't explain it. Bob was very happy to tell him, I've had people praying for me all over the world. He's on that Magnificat prayer chain. Hundreds and hundreds of people have been praying for me. And the doctor's just, So we praise God for this miracle because he told us he's got this, and he does. We thank you, Lord. So Bob also has had many revelations during his hospitalization about the value and the privilege of suffering with Christ. He has suffered greatly, but has really felt that Christ is with him, and he and others will benefit from this suffering. I fall short to begin to explain it as he does. I guess you have to suffer to be able to know what he means. It's just profound. I know I was overwhelmed during this past year with concern for him, taking care of him, nursing his wounds, taking on all the household responsibilities, and I hate grocery shopping. Hate it. And I've been doing it for a year now. He's finally going back to the grocery store. And many trips to the hospital and all the doctor appointments. I often had difficulty verbalizing prayer. All I could muster up is, Jesus, I trust in you. Over and over again. Jesus, I trust in you. He heard me and gave me confidence in him. And again, this scripture keeps reminding me, for I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord. Plans for your future, not for woe. Plans to give you a future full of hope. When you call me, when you go to pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. Yes, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. And I will change your lot. I would encourage you to trust your lot to him. If you have never surrendered yourself to our loving God, his care and his love for you, consider asking him to enlighten you, to lead you to a place where you can trust in his plan for your life. I invite you to close your eyes as I lead us in prayer. Lord, your word tells us, be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you life. Help us, Lord, to be able to let down our barriers that we have put up in protection. Heal us, Lord, from the hurt and pain, mistrust, fear, and doubt that have built those walls around us. Let's just visualize those walls melting away as we approach God. If you desire to surrender him to him, pray along with me in your own heart. Loving Lord, as you beckon me to come to you, take down the barriers that hold me back. Loose my feet so that I can run to you. Unbind my heart in arms, so I can embrace you. Forgive me, Lord. Heal me and renew me. Convince me, Lord, that you love me completely and will never leave me. I surrender myself and my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit, your spirit of joy, of peace, your spirit of love. I trust you to work in and through my life. Thank you, God. Amen. Pat's going to lead us in a song, and continue to close your eyes and just meditate on the words, please.